Hello, America. This is the Michael Gibson Program. How are you today? I'm new to radio. I've been doing this off and on for a couple years now. And, love talk radio, love radio in general. But doing it myself, relatively new. I don't have a whole lot of hours. Because I do it off and on, one show could be an hour long, one show could be almost 2 hours long. I've done, half hour shows, just whatever, whenever I feel or a topic that I want to talk about, and I cover it. Would love to do it more, but again, life is what it is. And some of these guys, you go online and, they're a dime a dozen. There's thousands of shows, and it really bothers me. They're fake. They sound, it's just disingenuous. It's fake. They do this. they don't talk normal. My approach to the radio is I want to talk to you like you're sitting down at my kitchen table. I mean, heck, right now I'm doing this at my kitchen table. Okay. And that's the conversation I want to have, that I'm, we're sitting down and having a beer, a cup of coffee or whatever, tea. I'm drinking tea, a glass of tea right now. And that's what I want. And a lot of these guys, they overdo it, and they just, again, maybe people like that. Maybe that's, some of these guys have a lot of listeners and whatever, that's fine. But that's not my approach to this. I'm having a conversation. I'm not doing this, "Hi, how are you? This is the Mike Gibson Program. Well, today, blah, 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 blah." No, that's not what I'm doing. Okay? It's a real conversation. Not this fake, manufactured atmosphere. I don't think that's how you connect to people. I want you to focus on what I'm talking about, and that I actually have a genuine interest in this. Not that, it's not going to come out from time to time, because especially when you're sitting by yourself, talking about a given topic, it's different. I mean, a lot of people can't even hold a conversation with a group of people, let alone by themselves. So anyway, the first thing I want to talk about actually is most meaningless thing that I'm going to talk about today is the awards last night. The Academy Awards, and I guess I was reading that it's an all-time low, like the last 9 years. It's the lowest ratings in the past 9 years. And I say good. That's a good thing. I'm tired of being told what to think and how to think by a bunch of individuals that they read scripts all day. I mean, actors in general, not all actors and actresses, but in general, they're the most shallow, empty people you're ever going to meet. Not all of them. There's some really good guys and good women out there that get behind a camera. But a lot of, look at their lives. And I'm not talking about the well-off, to-do atmosphere. I'm not talking about that. Just look at them, how they conduct themselves. They've been married, 10 times in 10 years, and drug abuse, and all this other crap. And they're getting to do what they want to do. And that's the biggest thing. These people want to act. A lot of them, they'll tell you stories of how they were small children, and they were 8 years old, and they wanted to get behind a camera, and so on and so on. They're doing what they want to do. They're doing what they love. And they're snorting crack. All this stuff, shooting up with heroin. It's ridiculous. Getting pulled over because they're intoxicated. Now, is it because that they are that shallow and empty, that they're trying to fill a void in them because they don't know who the hell they are, because they're always pretending all the time? It could be. You know, I don't know. Sounds plausible. That's part of the problem, is they don't know who they are. But I don't want to hear from an actress that's, you know, can't keep their kids together and all this other stuff, telling me how I need to listen to them. Or, you know, an actor that just got done beating his wife, and they found him laying in his bedroom with a heroin needle sticking out of his arm. I don't need anything here, anything from him. What do I need to learn from him? Other than, this is why you don't do drugs. Again, and the other side of this, you have individuals that the last thing they've read is a script, and couldn't even tell you the last time they picked up a book. You have that. Well, again, there are some educated actors and actresses. Okay, very, very well educated. But who do you pick, a modern actor and actress who is well read? Top of my head, I can't think of one. Modern. Yeah, I'm not talking about, you know, Anthony Hopkins or, you know, these guys, you know, again, Anthony Hopkins, I believe, I think he's agnostic. But again, he's an amazing talent. I'd love to be able to sit down and talk to him. But I'm a huge fan of his work. But again, they're just using their platform of their fame to push an agenda. That's it. And a lot of them know less than you do in some of these areas that they're talking about. A lot less. But again, you know their face, you like them, you like their work, so they get paid, and some of them volunteer because they believe in something strongly, but they're using their face and their voice and their talent and your affection for them to push an agenda. Now, agendas are not always bad. They're not always good. An agenda is an agenda. People put, there's a negative stigma on the word agenda. An agenda is not a bad thing. Okay, it's just, what is your agenda? Okay. I mean, there's one group I donate money to. It's the Operation Underground Railroad. Yeah, I'm not getting paid to plug them. I'm using them as an example. I give them money every month, and they specialize and deal with sex trafficking of children. They try to rescue children that are involved in this, and they arrest the people involved and so on and so on. And they're only a few years old, this organization. So my agenda in that aspect is I'm going to promote and try to slow down and stop sex slavery of children. Okay, that's my agenda. So I'm going to promote them. I believe in them. So again, it's not bad. All agendas, but in this case, again, that's what they're using. They're counting on your like and your love of them to buy into whatever they're selling, even if it's poisoned lemonade. Okay, so next we're going to talk about Article 5 of the Constitution. Now, an individual that is the front runner and the leader of the Convention of States in proposing an amendment to the Constitution is Mark Levin. He has his own radio show, and he also has CRTV. You can get that online. Again, I'm not selfish. I will give credit when credit's due. If you want to learn a lot about the Convention of States and everything else in dealing with proposing amendments to the Constitution, I would go to him for that, especially picking up the book called The Liberty Amendments. Goes in depth in this. Also, in the book, it covers amendments that he would like to see take place in the Constitution. So, Article 5 states as follows: The Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution or on the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments, which in either case shall be valid to all intents and purposes as part of this Constitution when ratified by the legislatures of three-fourths of the several states or by conventions in three-fourths thereof, as the one or the other mode of ratification may be proposed by the Congress, provided that no amendment which may be made prior to the year 1880 shall in any manner affect the first and fourth clauses in the ninth section of the first article, and again, so on and so on. Okay, that part's not important. But, again, you can grab your pocket constitution, you can go online, read the text of the of Article 5 in the U.S. Constitution. And what it's saying here is that, yes, you have the process with the Congress proposing a constitutional amendment. The states can also propose a constitution with enough states agreeing to do so. So you have people, there are so-called constitutionalists and Republicans and whatnot that are fear-mongering about Article 5. They're trying to say that Congress is going to scrap the whole Constitution with it and everything. It's that's not going to happen. It allows this, it talks about this, Congress can propose a constitution or propose an amendment, and it talks about the states proposing an amendment. And you have, I believe it's the John Birch Society that is fear-mongering. You also have some minor groups like Oath Keepers, which I was I liked Oath Keepers. But they, I think it was on Facebook, they were sharing some propaganda against using Article 5 for the states, you know, Convention of States. It's really infuriating. And the states have never got a amendment through. And it's because when there's talk about an amendment, Congress comes along and says, oh, well, we'll take care of that for you. We'll handle it. You know, you guys can just, you know, sit down again. And that they sit down and they let it go, and that's it. Nothing happens. Again, I don't have all the data as far as different times, but again, look it up. It's happened several times when the states try to get this ball rolling and Congress just gets in the way. Had to take a drink break here. So, excuse me. You know, something needs to happen. Right now, I think we're at, I thought we were at 13 or 12 states that have agreed and they want to get this ball rolling. So hopefully, you know, like they've talked about balanced budget amendments and so many other amendments. Some of them are good. Some people, their concern is, well, what stops and what forces, what stops the government from not adhering to it, this new amendment? Well, it's a piece of paper in the end, and it takes people holding the government's feet to the fire and electing people that will follow it and actually doing your job. The voters are not doing their job. We keep electing some of the same pieces of garbage to Congress. And why? You can talk about gerrymandering and that does play a role, but nobody should just be voting for an individual because the voters are Republican and Joe Blow, the congressman, is a Republican. Or you're a Democrat, and Joe Blow running for Congress is a Democrat. It's not how you should be voting. I hate to tell you, there's no reason when you look at Nancy Pelosi's record and everything else that she should be reelected ever again. There's no reason. Unless there are that many people that agree with what she's trying to do. And I don't think that's the case. Just like Hillary. The Hillary voters, the ones that voted for her when she was running for president, really did their homework and were honest. You know, I don't know the percentage. Maybe a third, you know, maybe 50%. I don't know. Wouldn't have voted for if they're actually honest and just looked at her past and what she's been pushing, things that she said, all the corruption when she was in the State Department, when she was State Secretary, Secretary of State. You know, they wouldn't have voted for her. We have a long road ahead of us because you have opposition on both sides of the fence. People that are supposed to be on your side because they want to protect Congress and they don't want Congress to be irrelevant. And then you have the others that they don't want to see a balanced budget amendment or anything else like that. Next topic I want to address is Organize for Action. This group, it's Obama's group, I believe it was created in 2013, and they are a political agitator group. They've got a store, they've got, you know, you can donate, careers, and Obama's using this group in order to become a wrench in President Trump's gears. Now, this group also has a lot of strong ties to George Soros, you know, the man that said that America needs to be in a managed decline because, you know, Mr. Soros wants an open society. And the United States, according to him, is one of the number one obstacles to an open society. See, George Soros wants a borderless world. And you have to destroy the United States. Now, in general, most people are for United States sovereignty. But, again, that's why he is promoting and funding Black Lives Matter, the domestic terrorist group. He is behind a lot of the women's marches, which, again, I have covered before, that all of these groups are just flavors of the month. They mean nothing. They're used. That's why all these little movements pop up left and right. It's all the same people behind them. All the same people. But it's just, what's the next cause? What's the next issue we can throw a can of gasoline on? And that is, you know, where did Black Lives Matter go? Where's it at? Do you hear, other than occasionally, what's going on with them? Now, I haven't seen anything recently. It just seems to just died off. So they're useful idiots. And so the women marches, I'm sorry, if you went to one of those marches or you agree with them, you are a useful idiot. I hate to tell you. Because you're being used. You're being manipulated and played. And you're bought right into it. So when you go to the Organize for Action, or the OFA, they have, it says, we respect, we empower, we include, we act. And their mission statement, here, the OFA is committed to mobilizing and training the next generation of progressive organizers, code word for communist generation. So let's change every time I read progressive, I'm going to include the word communist. Let's start over here. The OFA is committed to mobilizing and training the next generation of communist organizers and leaders because real lasting change doesn't just happen on its own. It requires a program, it requires organizing, and it requires people like you with grassroots chapters. Grassroots chapters. Grassroots. I don't think they are aware of what grassroots means. But anyway, with grassroots chapters in neighborhoods across the country, Organized for Action volunteers are building this movement from the ground up, person to person, community by community, because democracy isn't a spectator sport. That is wonderful. Too bad we're not a democracy. But anyway, so you scroll down. It says, join the fight. This movement needs you now more than ever. Join a long line of communist organizers in the fight for a better future. Say you're in. And then email and zip. Let's see. Whoa, what's down here? Oh, we're training tomorrow's leaders. Organized for Action is dedicated to empowering communist talent at every level, from first-time student organizers to organizing the professionals and community leaders. We're here to equip folks, Obama loves that word, with the skills and tools that can help them turn their passion into action. Wow, I want to join this group just from reading this. Woohoo! You have Because It's Time to Act. There's an I'm In button. Let's see. Let's go to... There's home issues. Let's go to issues. See what this says here. Healthcare, talking about Obamacare, why Obamacare matters. I'm not going to read all their propaganda here. The rush to repeal would be a catastrophe. That's what's amazing is, you know, they throw the number around that 20 million people gained healthcare. And there was an article talking about, I did not hear the audio myself, but this one article was claiming that Trump had said that, you know, 20 million people is not a lot of people. Well, in the big picture of things, 20 million actually isn't a lot of people, if you really think about it, as far as compared to the country. Okay, now, depending on how you're using the 20 million in context, okay, 20 million a lot out of 312? Well, depending on how you're using the number. Now, they say, the numbers I heard, 8 to 10 million people lost their health care because of Obamacare. Okay, so these people were going off on President Trump because he said 20 million is not a lot. Well, let's be honest here. What is a big number as far as what context? Well, 8 to 10 million people, as of a year or two ago, had lost their health care. I assume more have lost their health care because of Obamacare. And it's going to get worse. So 8 to 10 lost their health care because of Obamacare. People that wanted their health care plan. So, and 20 million gained. Okay, so you added 8 to 10 on the uninsured list, but you gave 20 million insurance. Okay, so is 8 to 10 million not a lot of people? Or is that a lot? I mean, what's the number here? And again, that's nothing to brag about. You caused 10 million people to lose health care, but you give it to 20. Well, you just made the uninsured list grow. Okay? Is it, well, it's okay, but we got 20 million people. You just added 8 to 10 million people. But you gave 20 healthcare? On top of that, now all of us are paying for these individuals? And eventually, the number, it doesn't work in the end. Now, you have people like Gruber, one of the architects of Obamacare, saying that, you know, they played on Americans' ignorance of economics and so on and so on. That's how they got it passed. They played the Supreme Court, so they admitted they lied. It also proves that the Supreme Court didn't do their job, didn't even read the bill or do its research because they said it was constitutional. But the federal, even though, according to the 10th Amendment, you know, in a nutshell, anything not directly prescribed to the federal government to take care of, they cannot do, according to the 10th Amendment. So how's Obamacare constitutional? That's why, again, just because a judge says something doesn't make it so. Because they've been proven wrong time and time again. So the guy that helped craft Obamacare admitted they lied and played people. Did any other ruling come out after the fact? No. They've stuck with it. They said, yep, it's constitutional. Even though a month or so later or a year or whatever, oh, we lied. We played all of you guys. But it's still constitutional. Don't worry. Now the government can force you to buy something. To be in good standing with the federal government, you have to buy something. Oh, that sounds peachy. Okay. So let's go up here to this main menu again of this page. Let's go to issues. Oh, they address climate change, immigration reform, economic opportunity, stupid internet, expanding equality, gun violence prevention. Let's go to climate change. See what they have to say about that. Ooh. Climate change is real, man-made, and happening now. The stakes are too high not to act. Oh, boy. Oh, here's my favorite lie right here. 97% of climate scientists agree. We can all say this in unison. Man-made climate change is a reality. In early 2014, two landmark reports spelled out the reality of the challenge we face. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. Here we go. I'm just scrolling down through here. Okay. I don't know how much more I can read of this page. So yes, check it out. Do a lot of research on the Organize for Action. Or let's call it, let's see, the OFA. Obama for Asswipes. How's that? we'll call it that, I guess. So again, that's all I got today. Again, short show. So check out and do your research on Obama for Asswipes. Organize for Action. And do your research on Article 5 of the Constitution and the Convention of States. And check out Mark Levin and his book, Liberty and Tyranny. And have a good day. And God bless. This is the Michael Gibson Program.